To another episode of the Nintendo Entertainment Podcast. I am Triforce Todd, and joining me today is Wario Will.
Alright, let's cut it. We got it.
I'm sorry, I just gotta rub it in because
that audio quality was good.
Yeah, I actually think it was quite the treat.
I'm sorry. It's just because I just gotta say, Victor is very sweet right now. I just feel very sweet.
Enjoy your little victory. Enjoy it. Have fun. Yeah. Have fun. I hope you had fun.
We are going to. You know why? Because it's not a trick.
Mm-hmm.
All right, and another Mr. Sour Grapes over there, once again, is Tellius Tyler.
I may be putting on the persona of being salty. However, I am proud of our team and mostly myself because I spurred Team Trick to somehow be more popular than Team Treat. It had to have been me.
Hold on, while I won't deny that Tyler is being arrogant again, I will not also deny that I was very surprised that Team Trick had more popular, because we all thought that it would be Treat. And it was not by like 2%, it was like by what, 12%, something like that?
But we'll talk about
this in a second, because we got a lot of good stuff today, and including that one thing that I know you're all talking about, but we're going to save that for last, because we got a lot to talk about with it. So, we're going to start with, what have you been playing? I'll go first this time, and obviously, I played Splatoon 2 over the weekend, because I am loyal to Team Treat, who was victorious!
Yeah!
Extending Tyler's losing streak in recent Splatfests.
Yeah, sad. Very sad.
Now, I will have to admit, though, I am grateful, so grateful for the extension on this one, because I was gone like all day Saturday, and by the time I got back, I played it for like all of 2 hours just so I could get two ranks. Okay, it probably wasn't even 2 hours, more like an hour and a half. I was tired. It was a 3.5 hour drive to the con I went to. But you know, I came back, played it for an hour and a half. Then Sunday after church, no, I didn't go to church. I was too tired. con's very draining. I played for like another hour and a half, and then like 3 hours later, the thing was over, and they already had the Splatfest results. I'm like, that was so fast. So I don't even remember when it ended, but whatever. So I got to champion rank, which I was really proud of. I actually had my first 10 times battle, and I lost because of that weird. I did not like this shifty station.
Okay.
It was clever enough. It's better than some of the other ones we've had, like the mattress one, but. It was really hard to get a handle on it, and I swear, the first day I had like 20 battles, not one of them was Shifty Station.
Wow.
It was weird. I didn't even think about it until the second day when I'm like, oh yeah, there's a Shifty Station. When am I going to get to see that? So, I did pretty well. I think I did my usual average. I had some really good games. There was like one match where I just dominated. I didn't die once, so that was actually really cool. I was really happy to Treat win. I've also been playing, of course, Fire Emblem Heroes, which had a new banner recently, and I got low key, and then Bill got low key because he can't let me have anything. but I'm happy to say that it only took me, let's see, how many was it? Like 40 orbs, give or take, to get low key, I think, because I was over 200, and I think I was like 150 something when I got, you know, so. I was happy with that, so I was tempted to go and try and get Cliff, but that just would have taken a while, and I wasn't really interested in Owain. I know the fangirls are going to hate me, but you know, I just wasn't really interested. I will say this, I literally did the whole tap battle thing last night just so I could get all the orbs and everything, and dear gosh, that was so depressing. Not because tap battle is boring.
Yes.
Because the tap battle for it is boring. I don't even put the music on. I literally just had the music off and I just tap until I get all the orbs. But this one was the genealogy, the holy war / Thracia 776 tap battle. And so they had the parents as the bosses, and then you would beat them easily, and then have the kids, and then the kids would comment about the parents. And it was so depressing.
If you know the context.
The child dancer, Lini Lidar.
Yeah,
her. She goes, I wanted to be a dancer because I thought it was the only way I could know my mother. No! Why? Don't get me wrong, I know the story. I know what happens with Seelif and Quan and crap, who's the blonde? The blonde on the horse. Ares' father.
Eldigan?
Eldigan, yeah. I don't blame myself for not remembering that. But yeah, Eldigan, I know what happens to all of them. And it makes it all the more depressing that I had to hear about these children lamenting their parents in a tap battle. I'm like, that is wrong! Say that for the Tempest Trials! Okay? I liked that. As sad as depressing it was, I liked that because it's again, Fire Emblem Heroes connecting with the story, just like they had the Deirdre, Sigurd, Seelif Tempest Trial where they all got to reconnect, and that was totally touching. So, but I was just like, I don't need to hear about you lamenting your parents as I'm about to kill you. So, and all for a hot tub. I killed them for a hot tub. Calm me down. And then finally, I have been trying to play The World Ends With You, but work has just not been agreeing with me. I haven't even finished the first week. If for any of you who have played the game, you'll know what I mean. But the game is still very entertaining. I know the story pretty much by heart, with the exception of the New Day scenario, obviously. But it doesn't get any less emotional, like, when certain things happen. And I won't spoil it for you two, because you haven't played it yet, which you will. But you gotta do it before December 7th, because we all know what happens after that. But, you know, it's still really good, and I swear, it's just so subtle, but having this on a bigger screen is so nice. Because remember, this was originally on those two very small DS screens, and now I have, like, a full Switch screen to play it on. And it's, again, with the exception of, like, the book sprites, which, again, is really weird, but everything's in, like, super HD. The battle sprites are all top. They don't look like sprites. They look like full-on hand-drawn figures. So it's really nice. I love this game. Go get The World Ends With You Final Remix on Nintendo Switch, and help me get a sequel. Okay. Give me a sequel. But it's been good, and thankfully I am going to be finishing up with some work, because I have nothing to do on Saturday. I am so happy. The last like 8 weeks of my life I have had something every Saturday.
Right,
but now I don't, and so it's glorious. I'm trying to get all my work done so I can focus on getting this game played. Jeez.
Right, you've been busy on cons, plays, like, wow, you're a busy bee.
Yeah, I love it. And then, of course, once I have the game is over, then I'll be like, and then I want to have Daredevil Season 3 finished, which I'm still not done with. I'll be like, what am I supposed to do now? It's like, I'll be like, Tyler, counting down the days till Smash Brothers. 42 days!
42 days!
How about you guys?
As for me, unfortunately, work has been bogging me down, unfortunately, so I really didn't have much time to play games, actually. You know, as usual, I've been playing Fire Emblem Heroes, and actually, yeah, I mean, I gotta give props to Erika Ishii, the voice actress for Loki. She gave me a blessing, and actually, that's how I got Loki later on. And also, I actually finally did some the chain challenges. The chain challenges that was in book one.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I managed to get some orbs to finally pull her. So yeah, on that. And actually, as everyone knows, that's currently happening right now, there is the Grand Hero Battle of getting Aversa.
Got her.
I actually just managed to got her 4-star version on Lunatic.
Oh, okay, you were lucky. I kid you not, I had like my top team with me, Ike, Fjorm, put Mia because of Tempest Trials. She's actually really good. And then Ines, and I barely got her 3-star form. It was terrible. I kid you not. I just couldn't do it.
Her battle was really annoying because her stupid versus knight, like if you're standing next to someone, which generally like the strategy is to just get a horse emblem team or a flyer emblem team and just get those buffs and you can kind of just cruise through. For her, it turns all your buffs into minuses. So just huge drain. I did it on, you know, not a big deal or anything. I did it on Infernal. With a flyer team, but it was so annoying because they had to keep them separated for like the entire battle. It was difficult, but that middle area, I thought that I failed with my main team for a long time, was filled with like super 40 plus 10 Marth and 40 plus 10 Na'Vi, and I couldn't do it or come close to doing it. But I saw that middle spot and I was like, oh, some flyers could probably just like hang out there and avoid damage, which worked.
Right. That's pretty much what I did with my Radiant Ike, Black Knight, and with a 10 plus 10 Reinhardt. That's what I did. So yeah, that's just barely managed to pull that one off as well. But yeah, fine. I'm with Heroes. Currently going through the we finished up the Tempest Trials. We are now heading into the the battle arena right now, and we're soon to be heading to another Banya Link events, which I see on Twitter for the new heroes. So it's gonna be interesting to see the convos. And Todd, have you heard the convos from Loki or Aversa? Any of you guys?
What do you mean by convos?
When you interact with them,
on the main screen.
Well, actually, when you examine their skills and then you interact with them with the a la petting and all that, yeah.
No.
Yeah, I haven't done
it. Yeah.
You just mean when you click on there, it's not petting. You click. Oh, you could pet if you're Will. If you're not,
it's Will. So what do you expect?
You could just click on it and then they give you a voice line. That's what you're talking
about.
Yes.
No, I have not. Should we fear for our lives?
You might be wary. That's all I gotta say. Just be wary. Even Loki seems to be very aware of what you do. So yes, be aware of that. But yeah, Fire Emblem Heroes has been so far so good. I can't wait because we're also approaching a legendary banner soon at the end of the month, from what we've seen. So get ready for those orbs. And on the other side of things as well, just been going on Splatoon 2, won my 10 times plus match, and I don't know, that grind map. Shifty Station grind rails, the one thing that's really kind of hard to get past is, like, if you're on the rails, you're pretty much a sitting duck. That's the thing, because, like, you have someone that's been more or less be camping on the other side of the rails, and yeah, you more or less get be a sitting duck if you're on those rails. But and it's also very hard to get to take control of the middle map. That's also the biggest, like, problem with it. But once you, like, kind of, like, basically spear through the middle, then you're pretty much good to go, honestly. But overall, I like the shifty map. It's actually pretty interesting. I mean, not overall. It's really situational. If anything, it's very situational.
Meh.
And other things as well. Just basically, more or less, been grinding on Overwatch, getting those Halloween loot boxes, trying to get new skins. So far, nothing overall. But overall, it's just again, work has been kind of busy. I'm trying to get back in the groove of things, trying to finish up all my entire backlog. Yes. And overall, yeah, just trying to keep on keeping on.
I have, similar to Will, not been playing a lot recently. I, you know, may, if you follow me on Twitter, you know that I have been glued to the Red Sox World Series run, which has taken the time of my usual gaming, my late night gaming, because I've been watching lots of baseball, which is great, no regrets. But
go
in
Dodgers.
The little time that, shut up, Todd. Shut up, Todd. it's 2-0, Todd, so calm down.
Yeah, and the Yankees were up 3-0 once, and we all know what happened
there. That's a great point. The Red Sox got them. So,
yeah, and then now the Dodgers can do the same to the Red Sox.
I mean, the Red Sox are the better team. Anyway, back to, you know, gaming. I, too, have been playing a little bit of Fae. I started trying to hoard orbs, and I always fail at that. This banner came out, and I pulled I had, like, 60 orbs, and I tried to get Cliff, because I love Cliff. And Cliff's skills are really weird and cool. I didn't get him. Instead, I got Faye, which is a 5-star I didn't have, so I would take it.
Faye the Dragon?
Faye, yeah.
No, Alm.
Oh, Faye, Archer Faye, right?
Yes, Archer Faye.
Okay.
I thought of the owl first.
Yeah.
Can't summon the owl.
Involved in, yeah, similarly sounding or actually straight up same named characters, but F A Y E Faye. And I also, you know, so here's the thing with Xenoblade Chronicles 2. I've been trying to beat it. I wanted to beat it.
There we go.
But I've been just limping through it, like crawling through it. Because there's no other game that I really want to play on Switch right now besides Child of Light came out. I'm interested in picking that up.
World Ends With You.
World Ends With You. I'd like to pick that up. Mario Party.
And Red Dead Redemption 2 coming out tomorrow. Yeah.
So my being poor has stopped me from buying those new games. So Xenoblade 2 is like the only thing I've been playing. But I'm kind of done with it. Like, I gotta admit, I don't like it. I've gotten to the point where I cannot say that I will ever like this game. I tried, it was doing a side quest, as you do, as my stories about this game tend to be. And I was in Mor Ardain, and I was trying to first of all, I'm trying to get the development levels up higher so I can send my teams out on more merc missions, but there's just no way to do that. So they won't tell me. I know you're supposed to buy stuff. I don't know how much stuff I'm supposed to buy. Whatever. It's a whole annoying kind of mess.
A trick. I could have told you about it, but I forgot. There's a really easy trick to get the levels up.
I was looking it up on the internet. I'd find like a quick answer, which made me frustrated, and just say like, just with everything with this game, it's just very a grind and it's frustrating. But I was trying to, I have to get to some facility. Like there's something going on behind the main town, and there's this gate that's clearly the gate I need to go through, and the gate is locked. And you know, of all the frustrating stories I've told about this game, this one was the breaking point. The gate is locked. They won't tell me how to get around the gate. The map won't give me any clue of where I'm supposed to go. My quest log won't give me any clue of where I'm supposed to go. I have to get behind this building because that's where the marker is telling me to get. And there's no way to get there besides going through this gate. And the gate is locked. And I think I know where you are.
Oh, wait. I know where you are. And they're the building that the gate is connected to. You're supposed to go through that.
I will check. Because
if it's what I think it is, I remember being locked behind a gate. There is a building that is, I kid you not, there is a building. It's very confusing, but you have to go through that. It doesn't tell you that, but you have to go through that. You have to go like up, down, around, through a door that you have to unlock, and then look for giant spiders. And if you'll see a giant spider eventually next to a doorway, that's the doorway you have to go through. And then you can literally jump off, and then you'll be on the other side of the gate.
That sounds like you know where I am. So I will do that.
You said more ordained, so I kind of had the idea.
Yes. Okay. Thank you. That is a great tip. So I will try to do that, and I will try to continue to press forward. But just I got to that gate, and that stupid gate was locked, and it just didn't tell me anything about how I should get around the gate. And I was like, that's it. I'm done. And I have not played for like a week since. I thought that was a good way to go out. Just the gate is locked, just like my progress. I'm not getting any further. But I will try to get further. I will continue to try unless I inherit a fortune at some point. I almost won the lottery. I didn't almost win the lottery. I didn't even buy a ticket. But had I won the lottery, I would not continue to play this game because I would just buy a million other games.
And don't worry. I know you will get, you know, better, and I know you're saving money for Smash, and so all saving the money for that is most important. Oh, by the way, where's that $20 you owe me?
Yeah, that's the most important.
But no, I understand, and I'm not gonna lie. As much as I loved Xenoblade Chronicles 2, there were I remember being frustrated at that gate because it said the map, which you were totally right, is not a good map. It was better in Torna. It totally told me, hey, you gotta go through the gate. Okay, I can't get through the gate. And so all I did was I looked at the building, and I knew there was an entrance there. And so I'm like, do I have to go through the building? And then I almost didn't get through the building because I didn't realize this hole in the floor that I was supposed to go through.
Right.
Oh,
see,
my gosh,
wandered
how
around
did I
the
not
building,
notice
the but
the hole
on the floor is the key. Like, I didn't find the hole on the floor. So the hole on the floor I've got to find.
Yeah, apparently. I don't know if that's exactly it. It's been a while. But I know that it does get sloggy at times, but I still feel that the end result is worth it. But if you stop at any point in time, I'll stop razzing you about it. Unlike Will, who I still need to finish freaking Breath of the Wild so we can talk about it.
Will, we need to talk about the ending.
Yes! Do your job!
I'll make it my last few days to try to do that last quest.
Moving on. Alright, well, I hope to have a better report for you next week, as I hopefully will have finished World Ends with you. Obviously, I won't have my review done tonight like I wanted, but that's what happens when work just decides to throw a lot of scripts at me. But moving on, there has been some major news this week, but we're not going to talk about that because we're going to save that for later because we're evil. But there has been some other interesting...
It involves Smash. Just...
You know, it's a Smash League. You know it's a Smash League. We're going to talk about the Smash League. We're going to talk about it in depth, but that's for later. So we're going to be talking about other things for now, so it's time to go down the warp pipe. And further sour the mood that Tyler is in, do talk about the delay, Tyler, that just happened.
Yes. Well, you know, this is actually kind of uplifting news. Team Sonic Racing has been delayed a long time. It was supposed to come out in November or December originally.
December.
Now it's coming out May 21st, I believe May 21st, but sometime in May. 2019, which I think is great because the Sonic Racing games, Transformed is my favorite racing game of all time, and This one just did not look the part. It just didn't look up to snuff. So I'm glad that they're giving it a lot more time to bake. Hopefully that this is a good thing that they, you know, are able to salvage the product or project and make it something great. I, you know, am I confident that it will be great after this delay? No. But hopefully it is.
Yeah. Just to quote the Sonic team, they go, "Hey guys, to make Sonic Team Sonic Racing the best game it can be, we're giving it the extra time to work on it. We know delays are no fun, but quality matters most. Thanks for your patience. We got more to show you for TSR, Team Sonic Racing, very soon."
I mean, it's, as far as concerned, again, like, if they delay for any for quality assurance reasons, then I'm all for it, really. Like, again, just, like, as much as we want to get these games early, I rather much wait for, like, a very polished game than a quick buggy game, honestly. So, take all the time you need.
It's just funny that, you know, they mentioned the whole quality over timing because of what's going on with Rockstar Games right now.
Yes.
I wanted to talk about this last week, but we got busy talking about other things. So,
sure.
Basically, to wrap it all up, Rockstar's co-founder admitted that the team behind the game were working 100-hour weeks at times to get the game done before October 26th, which was already its third delay. And so, second or third. But, and let's just say that the gaming community wasn't very happy about hearing this.
I was glad that they reacted that way. Because trying to make it like...
As a guy who can honestly say that he worked about 60 to 65 hours a week or two for Volition when we made Saints Row the Third, and I was just a QA tester, I can't even imagine doing 100-hour weeks.
Right.
Okay, because that's like, what, 12, 13 hours a day?
Yeah, I mean, you're not doing anything. It's more than that.
Right.
Let's see. Well, 7 times 3 is 21. So add that to the 7. That's okay. 91 hours. Yeah. So it's more like 14 to 15 hours. Yeah.
Pretty much 7 days a week, basically.
The week was implied, Will. But yeah. And so to hear this, you know, saying like, hey, you know, timing is better than quality, that shows me that, you know, they don't want to burn people out. And I know that some Rockstar people have already come out and said, you know, we didn't mind it. It was okay. Can we really believe them?
Yeah, that's
can
awful.
We really?
Yeah. Admittedly, the game did get like perfect tens from everyone, but
yes,
I still disapprove of the practice.
And ironically, there was another Rockstar guy who said that he took a day off of work because he had a severe allergic reaction, and he even sent pictures to the bosses to prove that he had this, and he got in trouble. So, like, who do you believe?
It definitely raises that kind of issue. I mean, like, I've been hearing the talks on YouTube and everywhere else. Like, do we really want to? We don't want to go and like burn out any workers. I mean, in any kind of work environment, you don't want to burn out your workers. But like in the gaming industry, when you like want to make quality games, like I've been hearing the arguments that that crunch is normal, but at the same time, is well not normal. You don't want to like really overwork these workers to the point of health costs or even to the point of death, if God forbid.
It's like when I was working for Volition. Again, I was a QA tester for Saints Row the Third, which wasn't a Game of the Year nominee and all that stuff, so we clearly did our jobs. But even when we had the crunch, they A, let us know ahead of time. B, let us still have the flexibility of the days that we had already had, because we didn't have to work like say 10 to 6 or whatever. We could have come out at 8, we could have come out at 7, left when we were done with the hours, as long as we got the hours in the week. So I don't know what Rockstar is doing, but if an extra 40 hours is an incredible amount of time, and yes, sure, they got all the masterpieces and the ratings and they're gonna get Game of the Year nominee and make millions, I'm sure, but it has a cost. And Ubisoft,
right.
Ubisoft made an article or did an interview, and like one of their head game designers said, you know, we would have rather delayed Odyssey than make our team burn out for 100 hours. So I'm kind of
I'm with
Tyler. You know, take the time, do it right. That's the Nintendo way. That's the Nintendo way.
Right.
You take your time, you do it right, and if you have to delay Breath of the Wild a number of times before it gets it right, you do that, sir.
Mm-hmm.
You do that. And then it becomes one of the best-selling games on the Nintendo Switch and the best-selling Zelda game of all time.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's
sure
the Nintendo
that, sure
way.
So. It just kind of goes also like raises those questions as well. Like, is the end really justified a means? That's kind of also raised that old age-old question again.
Well,
like,
well, as sad as it sounds, we already know the answer because the higher-ups only think about the money.
Sadly
and
enough.
So for them, does the game get good ratings? We already said they got masterpieces. Is it going to get the sales? You know it is. It's been highly anticipated for 10 years. Mm-hmm. Just imagine, just wait for Kingdom Hearts to come out. And bring it to Switch. So, you know, to them, it does justify the means. Mm-hmm. But then they're also not the ones potentially working, you know, 100-hour weeks.
Mm-hmm.
But that's another thing entirely. So, but I'm with Tyler. I say, you know, let Sonic take the extra 5 months. And, you know, now it doesn't have to compete with Smash Brothers.
Right.
So, because if we all know that's the Sonic game that people want.
You know, that's a great point, because I probably wouldn't have bought Team Sonic Racing right away had it come out in the same month as Smash Bros, because I just would never play it, like, guaranteed. But now, I even though, you know, it's Sonic, and I don't know if I told you this, but I love Sonic.
I think you might have mentioned it, like, episode 4 or something.
Oh, okay. Well, that's a long time ago. So just remind you to all new listeners, I love Sonic. go back and listen to episode 4. You'll get it. But yeah, I mean, it does actually, for me at least, change the fact that I'll definitely buy it now.
Yeah. All right. Well, you say that now. We don't know what's gonna happen May 21st, 2019.
Dude, what if Fire Emblem comes out? Oh no, Fire Emblem comes out May 21st, confirmed.
You heard it here first, hey. Folks. You heard it here
first.
Hey,
don't give them ideas. Don't give them ideas right now.
No, I want it. I want earlier than that. Thank you very much. All right, moving on to Nintendo Labo is being brought into the classroom as an educational tool. Tyler, you're the one who found this. Go ahead and take lead.
Yes. So Nintendo has struck a deal with a bunch of schools that they will be using Nintendo Labo kits as part of an educational tool. Sure that you know, this was kind of Nintendo's end game with Labo the entire way, but I believe it was 100 schools. So yeah, they're bringing these experimental kits in. I'm not sure if they if it's a classic robot kit or free-for-all kit, but it's some variant of Nintendo Labo, and it'll be coming into classrooms across the country for elementary school students, which, you know, I think this is a great idea. It's kind of always seen where Labo would thrive as a sort of hands-on way to get kids engaged in otherwise or boring activities. So I'm glad that they've got this deal.
It's definitely great to see that Nintendo's, like, really investing, like, their newest product. I mean, it's, from what we've seen so far outside the school market, is, like, it definitely has that popularity and just that intrigue enough. So, placing into the schools, especially, like, we're going to, like, children's activities. I mean, what do children do these days in schools right now? I mean, man, I feel old. But, yeah, like, inspire the creativity, the imagination. And I feel like, yeah, the Nintendo Labo definitely definitely fuse that part of the child mind. Like, make these creations as with the Joy-Con, like, new little robots or any other creations, like, from that piano. It's, like, yeah, spur on the creation of children's minds. That's always a great thing that we kind of need right now these days.
I agree. No, I know they get a bad stigma, sadly, but video games really are a learning tool when done in the right way, and Labo can most definitely be that. And not just in the games, but in the creation aspect, teaching kids how to, you know, use their hands, do precise measurements, do precise cutouts. Sure, it might take, you know, a couple Labo kits to get it right, but hey, it's for the children. What a weird. But there's a lot of fun there. And, you know, if Labo does that whole build your own tool thing again, imagine the class projects that could come from that. All right.
Yes, I mean, yes.
It could be a worldwide classroom battle of sorts. Like, make your own Labo creation and see where it goes. That could be a whole movement. So,
right.
You know, there's a lot of potential there. Nintendo games are so, they have the ability to be great learning tools. Like remember Big Brain Academy, or Brain Age. Heck, I would even go Professor Layton. You know, because that's all puzzle games.
True.
So, you know, use what you have. Appeal to the kids in the ways that matter. And what matters is video games.
Ain't that the truth? Yep.
Yeah. It's like, there is a commercial. It's a stupid commercial. It's a totally stupid commercial. but it's dominoes, and it's apparently there's this part of the app now where you can send like an alert to your family to let them know that the Domino's pizza is here. And the mother of the family in the commercial is teaching a class, and she's teaching her like very complicated math or whatever, right? And so she hears the Domino's alarm. She picks up all her stuff and goes, "You're never going to use any of this anyway." Yeah, I know. And I'm like, well, that's harmful. And yet it's also kind of true, as my life is teaching me. And so I'm like, well, if you're going to teach him stuff that matters, teach him about video games. Because video games, you'll use this in your life.
That's exactly right.
Right. Like,
video games forever.
We're going into American history. Like, when are we going to be using trigonometry or any other math formulas back in our days?
Oh, I mean, okay, let's honestly be fair here. There is aspects of various things that you were obviously using in real life, but it just depends on your job. I write YouTube scripts, so no, I don't use trigonometry. But you know what I do use? Video game history. I had to write a list today of the most addicting video games of all time. You want to guess what number one was?
What was the addicting video game? Yes. I think that'd be Tetris or Minecraft.
Tetris was number four. But for the record, Tetris is the best-selling video game of all time. So maybe that should have been number one. But I don't know. It's complicated when you think about it. Did you know that 100 million of those sales were from cell phones?
That's crazy. Wow.
Yeah, it is the best-selling cell phone download game of all time. Tetris. Yeah. No, number one was Super Mario Brothers.
Really?
Think about it. It was the game that revitalized video games in America and helped propel Nintendo to the next level. And when you think of Mario, what do you think of? Da 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 da.
I mean, that's Airworm, basically. But
yeah,
that's addicting.
Yeah, that's the most addicting part of it, is that the moment you played that game, you heard that song, and you kept playing that game because you loved that song, and you loved the levels, and you loved the world, and you did the multiplayer mode, just like me and my sister did. And right now, if we're talking single platform sales, Super Mario Brothers is either two or three best-selling games of all time.
Cool.
Yeah, the top six best-selling games of all time are Tetris at number one. Ah, crap. I have the list. Let me.
Grand Theft Auto 5.
Grand Theft Auto 5 is almost at 100 million. Then Wii Sports. Yep.
Oh, Wii Sports came with it. I think Wii Sports is the.
They're counting it because of the.
Right. Wii Sports, I actually would have guessed. If you just had me guess the number one game of all times, I would say Wii Sports because it's bundled.
Yeah, Wii Sports. Yeah, but. Crap, I had it and then I lost it. But no, then technically Mario Bros. Is number six. But okay, here we go. Obviously. Okay, Tetris number one, Minecraft number two, Grand Theft Auto number three, Wii Sports number four, PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds number five, which is fascinating because given that it was only released, you know, what, a year and a half ago?
Yeah, wait, Fortnite?
No, Fortnite. Well, Fortnite's also free to play.
True.
And then Super Mario Brothers is number six. So, but notice, four of those games are multi-platform. So if we're going pure single system sales, Super Mario Bros. Would be much higher. So, but yeah, most addicting game of all time. At least, it's all subjective. You could have said many other, easily said Tetris. I did have Minecraft on the list. I did not have Grand Theft Auto, for obvious reasons. But again, like, that's my job. I get to write about this stuff, so I don't use trigonometry, so... But hey, if I could use Nintendo Labo in a classroom, you gosh dang right I would. Actually, come to think of it, I'm actually surprised by how few Nintendo games I had on this list. I guess it's just context, really.
Yeah.
Like here's my list. Number one, Super Mario Brothers. Number two, Candy Crush. Three, Angry Birds. Four, Tetris. Five, Fruit Ninja. Remember, this is addicting games.
Yeah.
Six, Donkey Kong, like arcade.
I was going to say Donkey Kong would be the number one.
Yeah, I could see that. Again, it's all subjective. Seven was a tie between Guitar Hero and Rock Band. Eight was Minecraft. And nine was Pac-Man, Miss Pac-Man.
Yeah.
Okay.
See, to me, when you say addicting games, I go right to arcades. I would have said Donkey Kong.
Right. And I have a lot of arcade games on my list.
They were there. But I thought, you know, if we're talking like factual... In the history of history, I would think arcade games would a huge clean sweep for most addicting, because you got to think, you know, you come in, you see the guy with the highest score, you get addicted trying to take that high score, and then it's a vicious cycle.
Yeah, it's again, it's all really subjective. It's just like
plus money gets involved. Once you have the gambling aspect, aspect.
Yeah, but yeah, it was actually really fun, because I usually have to do like a lot of research on this stuff, but because I know most of these games, I knew all the figures in my head. The only few ones I didn't was like Angry Birds and Candy Crush, because I think I've only played Angry Birds like once in my life. I know, I'm a deprived child. What do you want from me? But yeah. And then, of course, when I thought about, you know, most addicting, I'm like, I try to go for both cultural impact, a game that people think about. And there are a lot of lists that put Super Mario Brothers as the number one video game of all time. So, you know, again, it's all subjective, but whatever. Wait, what were we talking about again? Oh, yeah, Labo. Moving on. All right, moving on to, okay, if you remember a few weeks ago, we talked about the reveal of a new Pokemon called Meltan. There we go. Well, we now know its evolution, which will make its debut in Pokemon Let's Go Pikachu and Eevee, and it's called Melmetal. Yeah, I mean, it actually doesn't look too bad. It's way better than Meltan, but yeah, I don't know.
It's definitely an interesting to say at least. I mean, again, it just more or less got bulky, has more nuts and bolts to it, literally, and nuts core in its on its stomach form. It's, I don't know, it's kind of always the strange thing regarding Pokemon evolutions. I mean, yeah. Think about all these different generations. First, it's always the cute little chibi form and like adorable, you want plushies of, and now once it goes to evolution form, it's just like it gets the bulky bulkness, scariness.
Okay, not always, but majority for sure.
I'm gonna come out and say I actually really like this design. I didn't like the original, but I'm a pretty big fan of Melmetal, however you want to say its weird name. But yeah,
Melmetal.
I mean, yeah, it's just Melmetal. Like the sheen of its body is pretty cool. Its dopey looking head now kind of looks cool. I'm a fan of this.
Yeah, again, I'm not opposed to the design. It's just, you know, why couldn't this have just been a non-evolutionary Pokemon? I mean, you've done it before. I mean, you've had cool non-evolved Pokemon. I mean, and then they ruined a lot of the Gen 1 ones. But what are you gonna do? Did we really need an Electrovire or Magmortar? No!
Good point.
No, we didn't! Gosh dang, Gen 5, what did you do to me? Why? Moving on. Wait, sure still, it's Gen 4. I take that back. Electrovire and Magmortar were Gen 4. So, whatever. Alright, moving on to a very surprising bit of news. Okay, so the NPD numbers came out the other day. And, you know, Switch did all right. You know, the PS4 was easily dominating because of Spider-Man. We all knew that was coming. Mm-mm. I was expecting, you know, 5 million sales from Torn of the Golden Country. Kidding. But there was a Nintendo Switch game on the September NPD results. At number 9 was Super Mario Party?
Ooh.
How does that happen when the game came out on October 5th? Well, as
intriguing.
I found out, the NPD results sometimes go dip into the first week of the month, and because September ended on the 30th on a Sunday, I guess they went all the way to Friday or Saturday. I don't know, but they included the first week of, or you know, first to the 6th of October, and so that allowed Super Mario Party and Assassin's Creed Odyssey, which didn't come out on Switch, but I'm just saying for reference. To be on the list. But when you think about it, that also means that Super Mario Party, in the potential 2 days that it was on out before the sales cutoff, it did enough to reach the number 9 spot on the list.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
Yeah. And another important thing was that this list, these NPD numbers, did not include the digital sales. So it has potential to have done a lot better. Or, I mean, a lot better, but better enough.
Yeah, yeah. Super Mario Party was one. It definitely, you know, still fits the bill for what I feel 2018 Switch has been like, where a lot of potential, and then the games just don't quite live up to the hype. But I think Super Mario Party did a little bit better than that. Like, it seems like from what I've seen and read, I haven't gotten it yet, unfortunately. This game is big in scope, and it mostly pulls through on being a true Mario Party revival. And if they support it with adding additional boards as post game or as either free or paid DLC, either way, it could be one of the best Mario Parties around. The mini games have gotten pretty much universal praise from what I've read.
Yeah, I've seen some really great reviews. Ironically, when I was looking up information on the MPD, because I didn't understand what was going on, one person even wrote that Super Mario Party was the best Switch game. I don't agree with that at all, but I mean, someone clearly loved it, you know?
Super Mario Party is definitely that, as you said, it's just kind of an odd title, if anything else, because it is more or less kind of like a little bit step back from what the usual form of Mario Party is, but at the same time, it just kind of does things as well.
I disagree with that. I think that this is the one that actually went back to what made Mario Party great. I mean, it ditched the whole, we're going to ride through the boards versus we're actually going to, walk and actually do our freaking jobs.
Right, of course.
And then, they refined it. They went back to the modes that worked. I think it did well. Again, I haven't played it, but,
If anything else, like the new system they added, because I've seen like one of the major game play more major changes is regarding to the whole partner system, in which you can use other characters' special dice, which that thing just opens up a lot of strategy. And I've been more or less been seeing gameplay of it, and yeah, the mini game, as you said, mini games, the strategy, the gameplay, and the sense of randomness is like it's definitely has something that is very unique. That strikes a chord with many of the fans. Like, this is indeed, as you said, it is Mario Party. This is what made Mario Party fun in the first place, ever since back in the original 64 days. And it just seems really, how do I put it? In a way, nostalgic, I guess?
Yes, nostalgic. Like, that's a good word for it.
Yeah, nostalgic, and just like, this is Mario Party. And the only thing I wish for is like, they expand upon this. Like, this is Mario Party, like, paying 10 coins instead of 20 coins for stars is like, yeah. And the smaller boards, I mean, given for the size of Switch, I think this is what they're going for, Nintendo's. So all I just to say is like, yeah, just build upon it.
But hopefully we get some more definitive sales numbers, and obviously it's got the whole month to itself until, Pokemon comes out next month. So I think this, we touched upon this last week, but I definitely think this has potential to be the next million seller for the Switch. I'd be very surprised actually now if it isn't, based on what I'm hearing from the UK where it was selling out, and US where it's apparently made number 9 in 2 days of sales. So they're doing something right. All right, speaking of doing something right, Starlink Battle for Atlas. It came out, and that's it. So this is actually a funny story that came from the UK. I can't confirm that it's happened elsewhere, but if you don't know, Starlink Battle for Atlas was a spacefaring adventure game from Ubisoft, one of their new franchises. And they had three versions of the game. They had the Xbox version, they had the PlayStation version, and they had the Switch version. And as anybody who has been paying attention knows, the best version was the Switch version, because the Switch version had Star Fox. It had a whole storyline, side storyline dedicated to Star Fox, Star Wolf, and all of them. Well, apparently people realized that this was a good idea to get the Switch version, because in the UK, it had a decent enough opening. It only opened at number 14, but according to them, 82% of all the Starlink sales was for the Switch. 82%.
Yeah, when you see that Fox content, you just had to kind of know that this was going to be one of those games, because it looks as though it could scratch that Star Fox itch. Now, reviews I've seen said it doesn't quite scratch that Star Fox itch, but it's as close as we're going to get to a traditional Star
Fox
experience.
I've actually seen reviews not only praising it, but actually asking Nintendo to let this team make the next Star Fox game, because they clearly know what they're doing.
Yeah, I mean, it has gotten pretty positive overall reception as well, but it really seems like it could just be a Star Fox game.
Yeah.
And when you factor that in, I think if you ask people if this was a Switch exclusive, some people would say yes, because it just seems like it was one of those games that was built for Switch.
So,
and the funny thing is, like, this game, from what I've seen the reviews, this isn't supposed to be a straight one-to-one replacement for Star Fox, actually.
No, but it seems like
this is very different. It's very different. I mean, it just kind of scratches that itch a little bit, but it's clearly not meant to replace Star Fox, which...
Well, I mean, it's Ubisoft, so and they didn't exactly have the option to do that.
Right.
Okay,
but
and actually,
again,
here's a funny side story for you. Apparently, the team behind Starlink decided to actually start incorporating Star Fox into the game before they had Nintendo's permission. They were so confident that they could get them to agree to this that they started making the model, the toy models for the R-Wing, and they actually didn't have enough time to paint it, so they had to do like a really rushed paint job just to give the idea and pitch it to Nintendo. Not unlike what they did with Mario and Rabbids, although they had more permission before then. And so they went to them with this toy of the R-Wing and said, hey, we would like to put Star Fox in the game and exclusive content for the Switch. So luckily for all sides, they agreed. Oh, Ubisoft, what are we going to do with you?
It just kind of goes to show that Ubisoft and Nintendo really are starting to be all buddy-buddy and all.
Yeah.
And even to the point, like, yeah, like, okay, let's just make this our Nintendo characters in this game first, and then we ask Nintendo later on. It's like, it's kind of funny when you think of it that way.
I'm calling it right now. Heard it here first. If Starlink gets a sequel, I'm not saying it will. I honestly have no idea. If Starlink gets a sequel, and if they bring it to the Switch again, which they obviously will, Samus is going to be there. They'll bring her ship into the game. I can feel it.
It seems very logical. Yes, like,
I mean, they can
incorporate
Star Fox into a human game. They can incorporate a freaking human into a human game. Okay.
Wait a minute, because I'm starting to wonder. Because again, they are creating Beyond Good and Evil 3 right now. I wonder if they're going to incorporate some sort of Nintendo Easter egg.
It's Beyond Good and Evil 2.
Oh, two, yeah. Sorry.
So you wish it was 3, you know.
Again, it's been so many long since the first game, so yeah, I lost track. Sorry.
Yeah, it's all right. All right, so hopefully we get some numbers for Battle for Atlas soon so we can see how much the Switch version is dominating the competition. Yeah. All right, moving on. Nintendo has officially, or I should say Universal, has officially started work on the Nintendo theme park. Woo!
Hooray!
Yeah, come on, give me something here. It's a theme park dedicated to Nintendo.
Yay!
What? So, no, but this is actually a big move for Nintendo. They've been wanting to expand their brand and to have an entire theme park dedicated to them and their IPs, which obviously can be infinitely expanded more or less. You know, that's going to be a big deal. That's going to be a huge moneymaker. And Universal was wise to get on this.
Again, I just want to go on a legit Mario Kart racing for all I care, honestly.
Yeah. There you go. NEP Live from the Nintendo theme park doing Mario Kart racing. So, Tyler, how did you like that Sonic racing game? Oh, wait, hold on. Sorry, Tyler. I'll get you back, Todd. Blue turtle shell. No! Not the blue turtle shell!
Yeah, you know, we should go there when that finally opens up, and I will once again, you know, just like I crushed you guys in real Mario Kart, actual racing of Mario Kart at the theme park.
Oh,
and
please.
By then we should have, like our own camera crew following us around, too, so we can get it on video, and then, yeah, that'll be great.
Oh, gosh.
Oh, jeez.
But
hey, don't forget I stole matches from you.
And I beat you guys a lot in battle mode. So, yeah. Moving on. But yeah, I'm excited for this. I personally, this is one of the few times I'm actually going to look forward to like work in progress pictures. Because we saw like the picture, you know, like where they advertised it and all that. And like the dream of what it'll look like. But I want to see it, how it'll actually look, you know? I want to see like the pictures of them actually, you know, doing like Peach's Castle or the Mario Kart Arena or what the Mario Karts actually look like. I'm looking forward to this, and then whenever it opens, I'm gonna try and find. I have an aunt down there, so I'm gonna probably say, "Auntina, take me to Nintendo." Yes, Todd. to dream. All right, two more pieces of news. First up, there is a rumor, not that rumor, another rumor. A rumor going around that there will indeed be a Nintendo Direct in November, and it'll be Smash Brothers focused.
Hooray!
Hooray!
Yay!
So, So let's be clear. Let's be honest here. Let's just say this is true. It's more than likely true.
I mean, it has to be. This isn't even a leaked thing. This is just like all right, well, if we're not going to get one in the next 5 days, we're definitely getting one in November.
Yeah. Mm-hmm, so, but before or after Pokemon Let's Go?
After.
After. I agree. I think they'll do it. I think, okay, let's see. So December 7th is a Friday. So let's see. I would predict it actually for the 23rd. So, okay, 21st to the 23rd, because that's a good 2 weeks before Smash. That's the perfect super final hype point.
Right.
Yeah. Also, did you see that? Oh, did you see the new trailer?
You know, I didn't see the new trailer because I didn't care about it. All I want to see is the leak true.
But they revealed a new character.
No, they didn't. I would have known if they did.
Yeah, no, the internet would have exploded, but no, they didn't. It was good for what it was. You know, they actually incorporated some of the cinematic trailers into it. But, you know, I'm like, why are you showing this trailer now? What's the point of it all? I don't know. Yeah. All right, and finally, Sega has announced a new Sonic game. I'm kidding. They have actually been fielding requests about whether to bring some of the Dreamcast games to the Nintendo Switch. And Sega apparently is somewhat interested in this, which would just add to the insanity of all the ports that's coming to the Switch. But hey, I know there's some Sega diehards out there with Dreamcast dreams.
I personally would go nuts for this. Sonic Adventure 2? Like, yes. I'm getting Sonic Adventure 2, the Dreamcast version. I've always played Battle. And Sonic Adventure. You mean I can have Chao Garden my Switch?
Yeah, awesome.
I will pay $5 million for that. I would pay an ridiculous amount of dollars to have Chao Garden on my Switch.
That would be amazing. Like that, yeah. And it's like even old classic on the Dreamcast, like Power Stones. That game was like very fun back in the day on the arcade machines. But for me, I want to actually play, as you probably know, I just want to play the original Skies of Arcadia. I mean, yes, they remade it on the GameCube.
Saying you love Skies of Arcadia? Wow.
Yeah, Skies of Arcadia would be cool, is on the Dreamcast. Yeah.
Yeah, I agree with Will. That would be one of the games I haven't played that I would need to play.
Hey, I'm going to do. But, you know, I think this, you know, as in all things, it's context. You know, it's do they feel like this would do well? Obviously, the Switch has been doing really well with ports, so not impossible. But
They also bring out like that one dance, like the Sega Music Channel, we're going to with Michael Jackson. That one music game, I forgot. Oh man, Space Channel 9, something like that. I don't know. Something.
Oh
like
yeah,
that
yeah,
sort.
Yeah. No, I know exactly what you're talking about with Ooh La La is the main character.
Yeah.
The TV station. I can't think of it.
It's a music game, yeah. It's a music game. Like, also with Knights as well. Like
Space Channel 5.
Oh, Knights.
Knights. Ah, God. No, Knights was on Sega Saturn. But...
No, Knights was on Dreamcast. Wasn't Knights on Dreamcast?
What? I think it was on Dreamcast.
It was not.
What about Jet Set Radio? Was
that was Dreamcast.
Yes.
That was Dreamcast. Okay, definitely get us Jet Set Radio. Oh, my gosh. So, you know, it's... I think they can make it work. It's just about how they would do it. Because if it's just straight ports, they won't sell. If it's updated ports, those could do well. If it's a compilation, you know, kind of like what SNK has done a couple times.
Yes.
I think that would be the moneymaker right there.
Mm-hmm. Right, just add, they have bring on the old titles, and then, yeah, just more or less build upon that. Yes, as I said. Yes.
Okay. Now, if they do a compilation, how many games should be in it?
I say a good amount is probably like 30 games.
You give me Sonic Adventure and Sonic Adventure 2, and that's all I need.
Well, obviously, because you love Sonic. In case you didn't know at home.
But can they add Chao Karate to the
Sonic Adventure 2? Oh, man.
Sonic Adventure 2 did not have Chao Karate. Battle added Chao Karate, and you need Chao Karate.
That was fun, yes.
Yeah. I like mashing my own Chaos against each other. Letting the Dark Chows bop the Hero Chows. They always won. It was classic.
Yeah, I always love the spin kick my Chow does.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It was so much fun.
All right. Main event time. If you somehow didn't know, a leak has come out.
Quote, unquote.
Super, Quiet, Will. I'm prologuing. A leak, quote unquote, has come out for the for Super Smash Bros. Ultimate. And naturally, once it made it onto the internet, it kind of exploded. But the question is this leak real? Is this leak fake? Is it somewhere in between? It's time to settle it in Smash. Okay, now before we go into this, we gotta make things very, very clear. According to this leak, which was, and to quote basically my own article, from a guy in France who works at a banner company who works for Bandai Namco, which has now been debunked slightly to say that it is a different banner company than the one he was working for. It's a guy who works for a guy who works for Namco. Okay, let's just go with that. The characters that were leaked are as follows. Shadow from Sonic the Hedgehog. Banjo-Kazooie from the Cell title game. Isaac from Golden Sun. Ken from Street Fighter. Mach Rider from the NES game. Geno from Mario RPG Superstar Saga. And Chorus Kids from Rhythm Heaven. So, is this real? Is this fake? Or is it somewhere in between? Tyler, you've had some very strong opinions about this, so why don't you go first?
I am here to tell you that we know the roster, and that this is in fact real. Now I get the skepticism. I totally understand that we can't know for sure, but the connections here I think go deeper than your typical 4chan leak or your even Virgibend, who's been correct about plenty of Smash Bros. Leaks. This one has an ESRB leak feel to me, which, if you don't know, that was the big leak for Smash 4 that revealed that game's entire roster.
Yeah, at the end, when there was like only Duck Hunt Dog left to reveal.
There was Duck Hunt Dog, there was Shulk, there was somebody else, I can't remember, but there was three characters.
Three characters.
Oh, I think Bowser Jr. wasn't revealed yet.
Okay, that's right, that was it. It was Bowser, Shulk, and Duck Hunt. Okay,
yes.
Proceed.
So, the evidence that goes for, that I would say, you know, it's fairly strong, is that the guy who leaked this, Eric Picard is his name, or at least it came from his Snapchat. People found his name, found his place of work, and he does indeed work for marketing companies that print off materials for, you know, marketing purposes. In the background of this image, it's being referred to as the Grinch leak, because there's promotional materials for the Grinch movie kind of scattered about in the background that you can barely see, but they're there and they are unseen before. They look like your typical movie poster, type material. And those materials have not been seen before, so this does seem like it's from a credible place that's promoting upcoming things. Also, the Grinch movie comes out November 28th in Japan, or in France, where this leak originated from. Meanwhile, Smash comes out 10 days later, so it would make sense that they would be in the same batch of promotional materials. Now, the guy is real, you got the Grinch connection, and, which sounds so funny, the Grinch connection, and the actual banner itself. Now, people are saying that this picture is blurry. It's not blurry, it's just far, it's if you take a Snapchat of something from that distance, that's the size of this little banner tape, it would look like that. When you blow it up, it holds up pretty well. The banner itself has characters moved on it. Most characters are the same, but others have been moved slightly from where they were previously. Now, some would say this is evidence against it, but they are wrong, because as you may recall, when they added Krom and King K. Rool and Simon and Richter, that banner changed from the E3 banner. They moved some characters around. So now Shadow has taken the place of one of the Miis, and all three Miis are grouped together. Just one of the characters that's moved. I can't remember all of them. So they're spatially put in strategic locations that make sense. It looks very natural. The character art is consistent. There's no inconsistency with these pictures. I mean, if you were going to recreate this, you would have to recreate it from scratch, and it would have to be exact, and it looks pretty exact. So I am on team real. And for another follow-up reason, there was rumors from the leaking circles that Nintendo was furious because one leak had come out that was actually true, that nobody was really looking at, but this leak was a real leak, and that they were cracking down on, they're trying to find the person who did it, because, you know, it got out there. Unfortunately, the sources said that this leak did not garner much attention. And we found a leak on September 28th on 4chan that was this exact character rotate, or this exact roster, seven characters, these characters. And the guy was just cursing his mouth off. It was like the most angry leak of all times. So it would make sense to me that they would be pretty mad about the language that we used there, because they were kind of being negative towards Nintendo in this wacky leak. So there's a lot of evidence pointing towards this being real. And I am on Team Real.
Find your evidence compelling. I will say my thoughts for the last. So, Will, where do you fall?
I do not buy this, unfortunately. It's as much as, like, I want this thing to be true, it really does feel in that this is too good to be true right now. Like, if this was even at all remotely true, like, this, don't you think, feel like this is a little bit, like, I don't know, coincidental, honestly? Because we're already approaching to the release date soon on December 7th, and, like, only now we're getting, like, this so-called leak. It just, I don't know, I'm really very skeptical, like, if this holds any merit whatsoever, because, like, this whole Grinch argument, like, it is promoting the Grinch movie that's also coming up on the same month, that, yeah, both the game and the movie is on the same month, is, I don't know, it doesn't sit well. Like, why would you want to go and promote the Grinch movie along with a great game like Super Smash Bros.? Like,
have you seen the images? I think that you're coming from the wrong place on that. They're not like side by side promotional materials. They're just a printed batch of promotional materials. The Grinch stuff is mostly covered by the Smash stuff.
All right. So thank you for the clarification. But that whole Grinch argument thing, it just, I don't know, it's something that really just doesn't, like, sit right with me. Like, that, I mean, yeah, just basically as a cross promotion and all that. Yes, gotcha. But it, I don't know. It, from, I also seen, like, we're going through that whole extended banner, including with Shadow and anybody and all the other characters. Like, Shadow, I mean, pretty much that Shadow is more or less a shoehorn in. I won't be surprised if he is going to be the next Echo character for Sonic, if anything else. But other characters like Isaac or like the Elite Beat Agents is, well, I won't deny
it's not the Elite Beat Agents, it's Chorus Kids. It's totally Chorus different Kids, franchises.
Sorry. But yeah, have those. I won't deny the possibility of them appearing, but I don't know. All the flags are just saying to me it's no. This cannot be real. I'm always going to stick to my guts.
What flags are you describing, though? I mean, you're just kind of saying it's your gut feeling, but what?
It's really just instinct, if anything else. Like, I don't anything that we hear right now, I would take it with a heavy grain of salt. Unless Nintendo confirms it themselves, right? Like, afterwards, like, I want to hear from Nintendo's mouth, if anything else. Like, anything else, I'm just like, nope, not going to go, not going to buy this, not right now, no. Just, no. That's my instinct feeling right now. It just seems way too coincidental, if anything else. I'm sorry, I just cannot agree with this whole leak.
Alright, here's where I stand. I recall the Smash Brothers 4 leak. Now, this leak had certain characters that were confirmed later on, but it also had Crom, it had the Chorus Kids, it had the Elite Beat Agents, and there was, I think, one other character I can't remember, but it, at the time, it seemed real, because this came out before
the Gamatsu leak is what it was.
There was, yeah, the Gamatsu leak. It came out before a lot of certain reveals came out, and sure enough, the first, I think, three or four characters that they revealed were in line with this leak, but then the other half was wrong. And again, like, Crom was part of the final Smash, and then Elite Beat Agents in Rhythm Heaven, and whoever the other character was, wasn't there at all. So I look at this list, and some of it seems incredibly probable, not just because of gut instinct, but because of what Nintendo and Sakurai have been doing with the roster. They've really been going to the well and saying, what are the characters that people want? What are the characters that people feel should be in Smash Brothers. And the obvious one was Ridley. And so they put Ridley in. And then the other obvious one was King K. Rool, which even Sakurai and the creator of King K. Rool noted that it was because of the fans that King K. Rool got in. Simon Belmont has honestly been asked for quite some time. And we were all kind of surprised when it happened because of Konami's current state of affairs. Animal Crossing, that was a bit of a surprise. But there is a big Animal Crossing following. And then obviously the Inkling and Splatoon. So those are a lot of big characters, you know, maybe not Isabelle, but people want. Now, granted, not everyone got it. Shovel Knight's only an assist trophy. Crystal's only an assist trophy. But they're saying to themselves, who can we bring in that people would be happy about? And so to that end, I would grant you that Shadow, especially if he's not an Echo character, I would beg you, Sakurai, do not make him an Echo character, because Shadow is different enough, especially with his Chaos Control abilities, okay? Play any Sonic game, except the one with the guns, and you know what I'm talking about. As Death Battle said, the worst game ever happened. You know, Shadow is very different. Play Sonic Battle. Shadow's very different from Sonic, all right? Ken, that's an Echo character. That's fine. That's literally how he was made. In story and in the gameplay, that one's fine. Banjo-Kazooie, I would love for that to be real. I'm not saying it is. I would love for that to be real, because that's another one of those third-party characters that Nintendo fans haven't wanted, because not technically, Banjo-Kazooie was born on the N64, had two great games, and we all know what happened to the third game.
It was also a great game, but it just wasn't a Banjo-Kazooie.
It was horrible, and
until
you know
the end
it.
Of time. No, horrible. That game was fun. That was a horrible. Very fun game.
It wasn't. Anyway, so, you know, Banjo-Kazooie totally makes sense. Because, again, following my third-party rule, it was on a Nintendo platform. It was born on a Nintendo platform, so that makes sense. Geno, same thing. Long-time fan request, long-time desire. You know, the only question was Square Enix. And now we have Cloud in two Smash Brothers games. You could have argued that because, you know, Cloud was such a big character that they couldn't get more than one. That was fine, but now they had the potential for two, so why not? And then Isaac from Golden Sun is one of the most requested first-party characters to be put into Smash Brothers. Those five are fine. That was five, right? Yeah, that was
yes.
Five. Okay. But here's the rub. Mach Rider and Chorus Kids. Mach Rider, for those of you who don't know, was an NES title, and that's it. That is the only time this character has ever been around. What's more, Mach Rider is a motorcycle character. That is the literal entirety of his game. It's not like Captain Falcon, where he actually got out of his ride occasionally to do things. But obviously Smash Brothers improved him quite a bit, but still. But Mach Rider would be kind of an odd fit because he'd have to do everything on his motorcycle, which is not small. Alright? And yes, I realize they made Ridley smaller, quote-unquote, and Bowser smaller, quote-unquote, but this is really, really different. It's exactly why you probably won't get a horse character from Fire Emblem into the game, because a horse jumping on all those platforms would probably seem a little weird. And so to have that character, now yes, we've had Ice Climbers, and we had Game & Watch, and we had Raw, but those ones, and I was debating this with Tyler earlier, I feel those ones had a bigger impact than Mach Rider did, so I'm not sure why Mach Rider, of all the characters you could put into this game, history or not, why would you put Mach Rider? And then there's the Chorus Kids. What would they do in the game? They're a music character game. I mean, it's literally three stick figures. Okay, not stick figures, but pretty dang close. Characters that are part of Rhythm Heaven, which was always bigger in Japan than it was in the U.S. And so, if you recall, in Smash 4, there was a assist trophy, Nakamura or something like that.
Yeah, I remember that.
It was the Illusion Castle series, which was huge in Japan. You know, they tried it with the U.S. It was in a Nintendo Land, if you remember that, with the Dagger Shuriken game. Shuriken game, not Shuriken. That's in
Nakamura's Castle. Yeah.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, that one in. So, you know, but Sakurai said that character got really close to being in the game, but he was afraid that not everyone would recognize him because it was bigger in Japan than he was in America and other parts of the world. So he instead put him as an assist trophy, which is what he's done with a lot of other characters. So the question here is, if this leak is 100% accurate, I really feel that they have wasted opportunity because they gave two slots to characters who have either a very small fan base, and you could say that, hey, they did the same for Isabelle and Villager, and Animal Crossing is huge, all right? Look at the sales of New Leaf and all of them. Even Pocket Camp's doing all right. You know, that's got a big fan base, and that's infinitely bigger than Mach Rider and Chorus Kids Rhythm Heaven. So to not put Shovel Knight, who you know Yacht Club Games would probably would have thrown money at Nintendo to officially make that happen, to not put Zero, who would have been totally different from Mega Man, to not put Crystal or Midna, the Skull Kid. Who was another one? There was another big one. Okay, I can't remember. There's other ones. There's other big requests. There's other super big requests that fans have been begging for. And yet, I look at this list, and if it was just the top five, Shadow, Isaac, Geno, Banjo-Kazooie, and Ken, I could have said, you know what? This seems very probable to me. This seems very likely. I could see Nintendo doing this. Game on. But I look at Mach Rider and Chorus Kids. Why would they be in the game? I just don't believe it. So ironically, this is about the same par as the Gematsu leak, because that one had some of the characters right, which is why the leak got credit, but then half of them were wrong. So it's very probable to me that they were literally throwing darts at a board and said, who is the most likely to come? Ken, Shadow, maybe Isaac. Throw in Geno because everyone wants him. Then let's throw two off the wall ones just to see how they react.
So you think that somebody, that Eric Bricard, I mean, he's a real person who does work for a marketing company.
Very true.
That somebody looked, just like found him and then leaked a picture with his information. And just like they planted all this. They planted the Grinch evidence right behind the Smash stuff. I think that that's a stretch. And I also think...
Well, this is the internet.
I mean, true.
This is the internet.
that's a fair point. This is the internet. And like I said, we can't confirm anything 100% until it actually comes out.
And for all we know, this was this Eric's guy's plan the whole time. He had a guy or two or three or girl or two or three who were big Smash Brothers fans, saw that he had this banner, which was likely incomplete, and they conspired together to have a little fun.
I think that if you look at this banner and you see the artwork and the way they've moved everybody, that is a ton of work. I mean, it's a ton of work. The art style is matching the characters that have been moved, you know, everything on that would be a ton of work to be able to pull off. Now, yeah, it could absolutely be that way, but I want to get back to your point about the characters, because I've said it 100 times. I won't say it again, that we cannot say 100% whether it's true or not. But I don't think that saying I don't like the characters that are on here is evidence.
I'm not saying I don't like the characters.
I'm saying that
given the popularity of these franchises in the worldwide scale, and every other character, including Isabelle, who has been revealed for Smash Brothers Ultimate, it does not make sense to put them in there. Because it doesn't match up.
Right. Okay, so from your perspective, I get that. But if we look at the history of Smash, that has never stopped Sakurai in the past. I mean, you said the character yourself. Ice Climbers, Game & Watch, a character named Marth and Roy.
Give you Marth and Roy because they even spoke Japanese in the original Melee. That one I will give you. But here's the
Jigglypuff.
No. Jigglypuff was literally top five Pokemon because it was in the anime and it grew so powerfully in fan base because of the anime.
It was a joke character that Sakurai put in, is my point. So
it was not
a character like Mach Rider. I agree. I think that you could find better choices than Mach Rider, but Sakurai may not feel that way. Sakurai might be a big Mach Rider fan, might think there's a great moveset there. And that could be his retro rep for this game. And we had Duck Hunt Dog. Duck Hunt Dog is ridiculous. And
Duck Hunt Dog is eternal. And because after 25 years, that dog is still mocking us.
Well, you know, true. But I don't think that anybody considered the Duck Hunt Dog a real Smash character. There, you could name 100 characters in Nintendo's history that you thought would be more likely to make it than Duck Hunt Dog.
And yet Duck Hunt Dog is.
So I don't think. You're totally entitled to feel that way. And I get that, especially because Smash Ultimate, he has put in a lot of fan requested characters, but I don't think that looking and saying this character is too off the wall. I don't think any character is too off the wall for Sakurai. Sakurai has just he's done this every Smash. He's had these wild characters, and I do think on the Gamatsu leak, we talked about this beforehand. You don't think it's true, but I think that the Gamatsu leak was probably accurate because of the characters that they got right. Palutena, for example.
That was one of the accurate ones.
They got a string of characters right, and then half of the release was wrong. I think that those characters were originally planned. Sakurai has said he wanted to have a Rhythm Heaven character in Smash. Choir Kids, Crom to the switch from Crom to Lucina is zero. It's just a palette. I mean, his moveset would have been Marth's, and he would have been an echo of Marth. I think that it's very possible. Again, we can't prove this. I can't prove this, but I think that the Gamatsu leak was probably accurate at one point in development. And now that could be the same thing for this. It could have been, you know, at one point in development, these characters were expected to be in, and now they're not. Hence why we haven't seen Shadows and the Sister of Wu. You know, we just at the end of the day do not know. But I think a lot of people are out trying to debunk this because they don't like the characters. I'm not saying you're doing that, Todd, at all. You're not. But there are a lot of people, especially on Reddit and Twitter, that are out there saying this isn't real because, you know, I don't want the Choir Kids in Smash. I want Shantae to be in. Or like, sorry, that's not a reason.
No, it's not a reason. That would be like me saying I don't want the Chorus Kids. I want Midna. That's more deserving. Which it is, but that's not the point.
Right, right. I would agree that Midna would be a better character, but
thank you.
I just can't think that, to me, Sakurai is a guy who's unpredictable. He comes out and he does. I think the biggest evidence against it is the fact that Sakurai said that they were going to spread reveals out, and we haven't heard anything for a very long time. Mm-hmm. There are 43 or 42 days left until Smash comes out.
And here's the other thing, and that's actually a great point. Thank you for bringing that up. Here's the other thing. When Smash Brothers Ultimate was officially announced, not the Inkling tease, but the official reveal at E3, what did Sakurai say? He said there are going to be fewer new characters this time around. Now, you could argue about whether that meant Echo characters were included, because there's been a ton of Echo characters, including in this leak, quote-unquote. But let's just break it down. Okay, Inkling, Ridley, King K. Rool, Simon Belmont, Richter's an Echo, Isabelle. Okay, those are five brand new characters. Right? I haven't missed one, have I? The rest were all Echoes. Right. Okay, so if we take this leak at its word, then that would mean that Geno, let's give benefit of the doubt and say Shadow's not an Echo. I know I'm dreaming, but let's just dream. Okay, let's just dream. So we do Geno, Shadow, Isaac, Ken is an Echo, Banjo-Kazooie, Chorus Kids, and Mach Rider. That would bring 11 new characters to the game. Now, granted, I can't remember how many new characters
22.
Were in Smash 4?
Yes.
Does that include the DLC characters?
Yes.
Do not include the DLC characters. How many were there?
I would say 15.
Okay, so 15. That sounds about right.
It is less this time around.
It would be less, but I mean, when I think of fewer, I think of less than 10. Now, granted, we're at 11. That's really split in straws. But and if we don't include Shadow and say he's an Echo, then that would be a solid 10. So maybe that would make it right. But I just feel that at maximum there are three more characters, which is 8 new characters plus all the Echoes, which easily doubles that number, and that's a whole roster. So that's the other thing I don't know, because. Yeah. Sakurai said we're going to space them out. Now, granted, before the Gamatsu leak ESRB leak, like, as you called it, before that one was fully unveiled, we still had three characters to go with Shulk, Bowser Jr., and Duck Hunt Dog. So maybe that's what he's going for here, or he's only going to reveal one at the Nintendo Direct along with that Spirits mode you keep thinking is going to happen, or one or two, and then he'll have that final reveal on launch day, because that feels like a Sakurai move.
It does.
We don't know. But as in all things, or as a commenter on my Facebook page noted, until it's real, it's not. Or until Nintendo says it's real, it's not. And being that Nintendo has neither made a confession about this or announced the Nintendo Direct about this, I don't know. Some people think it's fake. People think it's real. Some people are about a little in between, like me. I don't know. It's It's curious to be sure.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah,
there are picks that we really hope are in there. I know Tyler wants Bad Joe Kazooie. I want Isaac. What one from the list do you like the most, Will?
Personally for me, I gotta go with either Ken or Shadow, honestly.
Okay, that's where you go, Ken or Shadow. The both have been rumored for a long time. And Tyler has been a big advocate for Shadow in Smash because he hasn't shown up as an assist trophy like he was in Smash 4.
Right.
So just like I've been saying the same thing for Isaac. So again, some of this it seems super credible. But then I look at Muckrider and Chorus Kids, and I'm like, I don't think even Sakurai would do that. But you're right, Sakurai has pulled fast ones in the past, but I just feel like there's better ones, but we'll just have to see. We are 42 days at the time of this recording.
It's away. So far away.
It's
I
so
need...
far.
So close, yet so far away.
Oh, gosh. Smash, everywhere, but not nothing to play. we must hold on, brothers. We must hold on. Okay.
I mean, if anything else, we'll probably get we're gonna announce it tomorrow. Well, we're out of luck, honestly.
Yeah,
with
I
our luck,
sure
yeah.
hope we get something. I need to know if this is real or not. Like, can you imagine? I think the big danger with this leak is that it's gotten people really excited. Like, if you recall, I had resigned my fate to getting Incineroar, Ken, and no other character except for like a Sora or Geno announcement at the Game Awards as the first DLC character. I was a Box Theory guy. If we just get those two, and I was fine with that, but now the thought of being able to get Banjo, Geno, like Shadow, it would be, I wouldn't be upset because Sakurai's already done so much. It's not his fault that this leak got out if it was fake, but it would be a bit of a crush. Just like the dream roster was so close. And yet the roster's still amazing, but you know what I mean. You get the point.
Actually, I think, Tyler, you might have just proven one of the reasons why it is a fake leak.
Just because it seems too good to be true?
No.
That was my guess.
Oh, okay. I was about to go into a little bit of raffling off. No. Think about it. What haven't we had in a Smash game yet?
In a Smash game? Or
the,
in this
Smash game, compared to all the others, what haven't we had? A new Pokemon character.
Yeah, right.
So,
true.
And there has been, you know, especially with Pokken, there is plenty of reasons in the Alola region between Decidueye and Incineroar to add a new Pokemon character. And yet, we haven't had one. And it wasn't in the leak. Now, granted, sure, Sakurai might say there's enough Pokemon, but hasn't stopped them from adding new Pokemon in the past.
You never know, exactly.
Never know.
You never know.
So, all right, well, obviously, let us know your thoughts in the comments. And so with that, we are ending this episode of the Nintendo Entertainment Podcast. Tyler.
Yes, last week we asked you a question, and you gave us the answer to that question. That question was, when do you expect a new character to reveal for Super Smash Ultimate? And nobody said early December because that was a bad choice, but 23% said within 2 weeks, which would be October, and 77% said in November. So so far the 77% is looking good, but we still have like a week to go. So
yeah, pretty much.
I.
All right, so let's just keep it bare bones. Whole question today.
Yeah.
Is this Smash Brothers Ultimate leak real? Yes, no, or 50-50. And then just put like, you know, half the characters are right, half the characters are wrong, that kind of thing.
All
right,
yep.
So,
all
right. So, cause I am very interested in this one, and let's do our best to spread this out because I really want to pull the audience and see where they stand on this. So, because this could be the fate of our December.
or and November, technically.
All right, so... As always, let us know your thoughts and everything. What do you think about Sonic Team Racing being delayed? Are you with Tyler and me thinking that this is a good thing that it's got delayed? What do you think about Super Mario Party doing well? Battle for Atlas, did you get the Switch version? And if you did, what do you think about the Star Fox content? Are you excited for the Nintendo theme park? Do you think that the Nintendo Direct for Smash Bros. Is coming in November after Pokemon Let's Go? And do you want Dreamcast games on the Switch? If so, which ones? Do let us know. And of course, vote in our poll question. So, for Tellius Tyler and Wario Will, I am Triforce Todd. And ladies and gentlemen, we are out of time. We are not out of lives. We have made it to the end of the level. So, raise the flag.